As he left the Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a cross that has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. I want to preach this morning at this whole happy hour. I want to thank God who is streaming, watching online. I want to preach this morning on a sermon topic, at his word. Look at somebody, tell them, at his word. Yes. At his word. I remember when I was younger, there was this particular time that my father had asked me to cut the grass while he was at work. And I was always glum because the reality is that whenever the grass needed to be cut, he only asked me. He has two sons. He only asked me because the other son, I won't mention his name, the other son supposedly had allergies. I always thought it was interesting that his allergies never gave him any problems when he played football, which is played on grass. But for some strange reason, something about fresh grass needing to be cut that sparked his allergic reaction. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm having a moment right now, but let me get on with the story. So back to the story, I told my father that I would have the grass cut before he got home. But as the day went on, I kept finding things to do. And I kept putting off cutting the grass, telling myself that I had enough time to get it done. And so I made it some breakfast that morning and told myself I was going to cut the grass after I made breakfast. I ate breakfast, and my best friend down the street, Darrell, called me and said, you feel like playing Pac-Man? And so I said, yeah, I ain't got nothing to do. I got time. So I laid it down the street, played Pac-Man with Darrell. And while I was there, I said, I'll just cut the grass after I played Pac-Man. And got a call while I was at Darrell's house. They had called his, back then we had landlines, amen. And they called his house and said, hey, y'all, we got to go down to the neighborhood to Apple Grove and play some basketball. Young player, I said, hey, I got time. Amen. I'll just cut the grass after I play basketball. Not realizing time got away from me. And y'all know how this story ends. Amen. By the time I got home, my father was standing at the door. He was already there. The grass was still not cut. And I remember he looked at me and with disappointed eyes and said and asked me why I hadn't cut the grass. I told him that I had gotten caught up with other things, and he said, well, didn't you tell me that you were going to cut it before I got home? And he said to me, son, the only thing you have is your word. As great a lesson that was, I can't sit here and pretend that I never found myself not keeping my word again. Even when there were times I may have wanted to, even when it made sense to keep my word, and even sometimes when it was really the easiest thing to do, I still have to admit I failed from time to time. But I wonder if there's anyone else here who's willing to tell the truth, to shame the devil, that you haven't always kept your word. You said things you would do that you didn't always do. You promised things that you didn't always provide. You guaranteed things that you always didn't make happen. You see, keeping our word can be a challenge, even for the best of us. Parents try to keep their word. They can't always get their kids what they want. Spouses try to keep their words, but forget to pick up the dry cleaning on the way home. Bosses try to keep their words, but promotions go to somebody else. Friends try to keep their words, but end up not being there when you need them most. Significant others try to keep their word, but find themselves cheating on those they say they love. And all of us have tried to keep our word with God. The very thing we told him that we would never do again is the very thing that we find ourselves still doing. But there is someone that we all know whose word we can depend on. A word that meets us right where we are. A word that does not fail us. A word that can encourage us in every situation. A word that does not mislead or disappoint us. A word that strengthens us when we're weak. A word that picks us up when we are down. A word that mends us when we are broken. A word that heals us when we're sick. A word that finds us when we're lost. A word that saves us when we need to be rescued. It's a word that is not only stamped on our hearts, but it is a word that is also stamped on our money. In God, we trust. And in this text, this fourth chapter of John, we find this Roman official who is petitioning Jesus to heal his sick son. He has money, he has power, he has a reputation. That at this moment, none of those things matter. None of those resources have the power to keep his son from death. We can only assume this is his first time actually meeting Jesus, that he is desperate for a miracle. His only option is really his last option. If Jesus does not do what this man is asking, death is surely in his son's immediate forecast. The royal official asked Jesus to come with him to save my son. Jesus tells the father, he says, go, your son will live. And the Bible says the man took Jesus at his word. The truth is that sometimes we are challenging our faith to trust God at his word. We have seen so many others let us down with their words, and we also know that we have let others down with our own words, so we can get unintentionally mixed up, and sometimes we mix up God's word with the words of those around us. But Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? That's why we can bank on, count on, and lean on whatever Jesus tells us. And so what is my assignment this morning? I hope that you have gotten some kind of idea. If you have not, let me spell it out for you. My assignment this morning is to get somebody who came and searched of answers to learn to just take God at his word. Look at somebody, tell them, take him at his word. That's That's all I came to tell you this morning. I don't know what word God gave you. I'm just telling you to take him at his word. I don't know what God said with you, that I just came to tell you to take him at his word. I don't know what revelation you got in the midnight hour, that I just came to tell somebody that whatever God said to you, just take him at his word. How do I take him at his word? Well, I believe there are three things in this text that can help us to understand how we are able to take God at his word. The first thing we see that in this text that the royal official was able to do to take Jesus at his word, he was able to take Jesus at his word because there was pre-existing evidence. Look at somebody, tell them there's pre-existing evidence for you. That's y'all not understanding what I'm saying, so let me take you to the text. Verse 46 says, once more Jesus visited Cana in Galilee where he had turned the water into wine. Okay, y'all already missed it. Although this verse could easily be read over as insignificant, it is important because it lays the foundation for the rest of the text. It shows us that Jesus had been in Cana before. And the last time he was there, he performed his first miracle. Y'all still ain't there. The royal official did not come to Jesus on a whim, but he came to Jesus because of pre-existing evidence. In other words, it is probable that the reason he is here is because he either was at the wedding when Jesus did it, or he heard what Jesus had done at the wedding. I don't know what it was, but he had evidence that met him before he even got there that he could trust Jesus at his word. I'm not sure who may have come in this morning heavy in heart and in spirit, but I'm here to help remind you that the reason you can take God is at his word is because you've got pre-existing evidence. I know you may have come in desperate, despondent, and downcast, but before you allow whatever current situation that you are going through to have that kind of power over your soul, all I'm asking you to do is to take time to look in your mental Rolodex under M's for miracles, under F's for favor, under V's for the victories, and look at how many times God has shown up for you in the past. In other words, you got pre-existing. Good God. It can be a challenge to believe someone at their word when there is no evidence to support what they are telling you. But when you have watched someone time and time again match their word with their actions, it makes it much easier to put your trust in what they're telling you. And as you reflect over the storms that you survived and sicknesses that you defeated and depression that you've overcome and attacks that you withstood and problems that you've outlasted and suffering that you've endured, the one constant in all of it has been God's word. One thing you've been able to rely, depend, and lean on has been God's word. Miracle after miracle, God's word. Sign after sign, God's word. Breakthrough after breakthrough, God's word. The one thing that will never let you down is God's word. Luke 1:37 says, for the word of God will never fail. So although we may not like what we're going through, there's a word that we can trust. There's a word that we can hold on to. There is a word that we can believe in because we've seen his word make a difference in our last situation. So we know that that same word will cover us in what we're going through right now. Look at somebody telling, I got pre-existing evidence. Yeah. Some of y'all, that's the reason you can't get insurance, because you got pre-existing conditions. Good God Almighty. But anybody here thankful that the reason you can trust God at his word is because you got evidence to show that God is a healer. You got evidence to show that God is a way maker. You got evidence to show that God can get you through a storm. That when I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. I got evidence. I got evidence. The second thing, the reason that we can take God at his word is not only because we have pre-existing evidence. The second thing we see in this text that can help us take Jesus at his word is that we have to stop looking for the match-up plan. Tell them the plans don't always match up. Tell somebody the plan don't always match up, that you still got to take God at his word. Let me show you what catches my attention in this text, Reverend Ross, in verse 49. It says, the royal official said, Jesus, come down before my child dies. That's what it says in verse 49. In verse 50, Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. Okay, let me help y'all here. The man actually planned on Jesus to come with him to heal his son. He asked Jesus to go to where his son was. I believe the royal official, he needed confirmation to what was about to happen. He needed to see Jesus touch his son, so that his son could be made whole. But Jesus did not exactly do what the man asked, but he still gave him the assurance of the answer that he was in search of. Okay, y'all, let me help y'all here, because y'all look like y'all stuck. Sometimes the challenge is that we end up missing the blessing we are searching for because God's not answering our prayer the way we wanted him to. His plan doesn't always match up with our claim. His strategy is not always our strategy. And sometimes we get caught up with the execution that we lose sight of the evidence. The learning to take God at his word releases us from how it gets done as long as it gets done. It's knowing that God's ways are not always our ways. And God's thoughts ain't always how we think things through. But it doesn't mean that he won't still give us the answer that we're looking for. You see, only the man was asking Jesus. What he was really asking Jesus was what? Heal his son. That's what he asked him. That's what was underneath all of it. Although the plans were different, the promise was still the same. Y'all, okay, y'all. So me and my brother, we love spades. We are like spades gurus in a sense. Don't look at me like that, like you want to see us. I'm just telling you that whenever it's me and my brother across from each other, you are in trouble. That's all I'm saying. And there have been times that folks had hands that they thought were able to beat us. But for some reason, they never could understand why we always ended up winning. I think the real reason that me and my brother always win is because of the trust factor I have with my brother. Anybody know that you got to trust your partner? That's all I'm saying. You have to trust your partner. And what happens is that I don't get rattled when he doesn't play a card that I'm expecting. I sometimes I'm thinking he gonna play something, and he plays something totally different. It does not bother me though. But sometimes there are folks that you play with, and they play a card, and it rattles you because you weren't expecting that card. I've learned that I don't get so caught up in how he is executing that I end up losing sight of the purpose of why we're there. The purpose is that we make our looks. That's the purpose. The purpose is that we never renege. That's one of the other purpose. The purpose is that we know that by the end that we have reached what we set out to do. In other words, I don't care how we win. I just care that we win. I don't need to know the how. I just need to know that at the end, we win. Good God. Trying to encourage somebody to stop getting so caught up in the how God answers. And just be grateful in the fact that God answers. Whatever way God decides to bless me, I don't mind. Whatever way God decides to make a way for me, I don't mind. Whatever way God decides to hand deliver my miracles, I don't mind. I just thank God that even when his clan doesn't match my clan, he still answers my prayer. That's all I need is answered prayer. It may not come the way I want it to come, but I'm going to trust him at his word. It may not happen how I thought it was going to happen, but I'm still. Look at somebody telling you got to trust him. Plans may be different, but his promises are the same. He promised he'd never leave me. He promised that he'd heal me. He promised that he'd deliver me. He promised that he would always provide for me. He promised that he'd save me. All I got is his word. Look at somebody telling, and his word is enough. That's good God Almighty. That's what somebody need to get this morning. You need to hashtag that. His word is enough. That's all I need. I don't need more confirmation. I just need his word. I just need, let me get to this last thing, and I'm going to get y'all out here. The last thing is this. The last thing we see in this text is if you're going to trust God at his word, the last thing is that you, at some point, you're going to have to leave. Some point, you're going to have to leave. Okay? Y'all still in verse 50. Text says, Jesus told the man, go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. In other words, he left. Okay. When he departed, we have to take into account he was still leaving unaware of the condition of his son. All he had was a word. That's all he had. There was no text message sent. There was no email transmitted through his Gmail account. There was no DM in his Instagram, no voice message left on his cell. There was not even a pager with the number 07734 read upside down. Old school, no. That reads, hello. That's Black History Month for some of y'all. He either taught it without any verification of a healing. I can only imagine that as he took the first step, there was still some uncertainty. I can only imagine that when he took the first step, there was still some doubt. I can only imagine that when he took the first step and left, there was still some anxiety about what he would find when he finally got back home. He may not know exactly how much faith he had to the thought without Jesus. But what we do know is that faith accompanied him on that journey. His son was not the only thing that was being made stronger in that moment. But in that moment, with every step back to his son, his faith was being built up because he took Jesus at his word. This is where many of us end up never receiving what God promised for us. It's where we get stuck. It's where we lose focus on the very thing that we once believed. It's where we are challenged in our faith, confronted in our convictions. Because if we're honest, we are waiting for more than just a word from God. Some of us have faith that needs to see it. So we are still waiting to see God move. The reality is that what we are waiting to see has already been done. But we will never experience the blessing until we leave from where we currently are. There are things God has been telling us to do But we are waiting on the manifestation to move. We are waiting on the truth to push. We are waiting on the confirmation to finally claim it. But until we decide to leave, until we decide to make a move, until we decide to take a step, we will never receive what God has already done. I mean, verse 51 is magical. It is something about this verse that I didn't see until this last time I read it. It says that while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his glory was living. In other words, while he was still on the journey, still moving, still walking, he came in contact with news that his son was healed. Had he stayed where he was and not taken Jesus at his word, he would not have gotten the word that his son was alive. He would have had to live the doubt could come of wondering whether or not what he prayed for had been answered. I gotta walk this, y'all. Watch this. Verse 51 says, he asks as to the time when his son got there. They said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the thief left him. Verse 53, I gotta walk this. I can't preach it because it's so good. It says, then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said, your son will live. Two things of importance. One, the man has been walking for almost a day on faith. He had not received anything for a day, but he did not stop walking. Two, the second thing is the boy was already healed before he even left Jesus. Y'all missed that. That he didn't know it because he had not yet walked into the news of what had already happened. Had he stayed around waiting on Jesus to show him proof, he would have actually just delayed what Jesus had already told him had been done. Why are you still here? That's my question. God already told you it's done. Why are you still waiting for confirmation? Jesus has already told you that the thing that you've been praying for has already been answered. Why are you still here? Why are you still in the same place this year that you were last year? When God told you last year, what you were praying for was already done. All we got to do is take a step of faith. That's what that man had. He had enough faith to move. And he only moved at his word, not at manifestation of the word. Look at somebody telling you, waiting on what you want to see. And God's waiting on what he want to see. And that's your faith. That's it. God's just waiting to see your faith. And when you walk in the faith, then you understand that you're going to bump into, and you're going to ask them, when did this happen? Now, in fact, some of y'all don't ask. Don't ask, because you're going to realize how long you've been delaying what God's already done. Just wasted time. Just sitting around waiting on God to do what God already told you has been done, and all God needs you to do is leave. Make a step. No, so for somebody, for real, it's leave. I'm sorry. God just told me. For somebody, it's leave. You've been praying about your job. God, job's just wearing me out. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And God is saying, just leave. Go. The thing that is better has already been done. And you'll never receive it until you just could. Somebody just staying stuck in a relationship, praying for the relationship, and God then telling you, Jesus, just go. Just go. Standing all over the church, I'm done. It's just go.